Nautilus, which you mentioned, was crazy what happened to that song, because I liked it when we did it, but it was just a tune. It was just a tune on a record date, and it didn't get any attention at all. Chance, maybe more than 10 years of hearing over and over and over again from different hip-hop people, producers, artists, and everything, that that's the cut of mine that they recognize the most and is most used. And hey, I'm happy as a clam. Who am I to argue about that?
Take them up, take them up, bring them up, dead ass. Washington, D.C. And I think they got something they want to say.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones. Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All you skirts know what's up with 213.
So I hooked a left on 21 and Lewis. Some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the rock and said, what's up? Some brothers pulled some gats, so I said, I'm stuck.
These girls peeping me, I'ma glide and swerve. These hookers looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Want to bigger, better things than some horny tricks. I see my homie and some suckers all in his mix.
I'm getting jacked, I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they taking Warren's wealth. They took my rings, they took my Rolex. I looked at the brother, said, damn, what's next?
They got my homie hemmed up and they all around. They got them, I'm seeing if they going straight pound for pound. They wanna come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull out my strap and lay them busted down.
They got guns to my head, I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town.
If I had wings, I would fly.
Let me contemplate. I glance in the cut and I see my homie Nate.
16 in the clip and one in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make some bodies turn cold. Now they dropping and yelling, it's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate.
He's the president.
Busters down, I let my gat explode. Now I'm switching my mind back into freak mode. If you won't skirt, sit back and observe. I just slept a gang of those over there on the curb.
Now Nate got the freaks, and that's a known fact. Before I got jacked, I was on the same track. Back up, cause it's on N-A-T-E and me, the woman to the G.
Just like I thought, they were in the same spot. In need of some desperate help. A Nate Dogg and the G-Child were in need of something. One of them names was sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your size. She said my chords broke down and just sing real nice. Would you let me ride? I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next stop is the East Side Motel.
Save On Radio, what's up? It's Flip Out. It is the morning. I'm sure you're quite well aware of that. It's 10:12. I'm a little late today. Shout out to Alex Foth. For the record, every Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. till
what's
10 a.m.
What's up, y'all? This is Kanye West.
Oh, man.
And Flip Out is in the building.
Quiet, Kanye. Kanye, be quiet. Kanye's here as well, but he's not going to talk anymore. But shout out to Alex. For the record, 8 to 10 a.m. every Tuesday morning, and then I'm on after him. And he's playing all vinyl. He did all 45s today?
Yeah,
all 45s today. That's awesome. He's awesome. Make sure you tune in to all the shows actually on the radio station. Today I have a couple hours that I'm going to spend with you, and I'm going to spend the first 45 minutes talking about myself. Awesome. You're probably not thinking. I'm definitely not thinking that, but I feel like... I've been doing radio since I was 13 years old, so I think there's some splaining to do about that. And so that'll go to like 10:45. Luckily, I was late, so I can speak a little less, and I'm also buying time right now. And then at 10:45, I'm going to play this interview, a phone interview that I did with Jay-Z from 1995. And around that time, 95, 96, I was doing a magazine, a rap magazine out of CITR under the flag of Discorder. It was called Elements Magazine. It was myself and Jay Swing who were doing it. And shout out to Rolando who started it, and Linda Schulten who was the program director at CITR at the time. Anyway, we were doing these phone interviews. We were trying to get our magazine cracking. And the funny thing is I did this interview with Jay-Z and I was asking him questions like, so where are you from? And he's like, Brooklyn. It was crazy. I think it's not pre-internet, but it's like before. It was his first album. I was just like, hey, man, it's the Jay-Z guy I heard on a couple songs. Like, it was pretty crazy. I was really awkward in the interview. It actually is kind of painful to play back, but I'm going to do it because it's part of me now. I'm going to play that. And he was really nice to me, by the way. Jay-Z was super nice. So that's definitely, you need to hear that, because that's something weird, something special. Oh my gosh. My mic sounds so much better when I turn it up. Jesus. Okay. And then after I play that interview, I'm going to do a mix live of the Reasonable Doubt album. Go through all the songs, go through some samples, go through some remixes and alternative versions of songs, stuff like that. Just going to do it live from what I got on my computer. So that's the show rundown. We are live from Save On Meats Building 43 Hastings Street, and we got people outside trying to talk to us here. Sup, homie? Sup? What you got in the box? All right. Always something exciting happening down here, not only in the radio, but just out in the street. And if you don't know, the location of Save On Radio is the Save On Meats Building, and I'm here right now, and there goes the number 3 downtown bus passing by us. And across the street is the urban Hastings Urban Farm. So anyway, without further ado, let me put some background music on. So it always makes me feel comfortable. It's like my safety net. So yeah, I started doing radio in when I was 13. So I know people are usually like, they don't like to age themselves. I hear people say that a lot. They don't like to say the year they did things if they're kind of like, quote unquote, older. But unfortunately... or fortunately, I'm going to have to say the years in my little story here. So I'm 43 right now. My birthday is in October, October 10. So I was born in 1974. So in 1987, I was 13. Am I doing that math correctly? I do believe so. 1987, I had just turned 13. And I was friends with... That's when I started my radio career. I was on the air on a radio station called Rim Jim Radio, which was started by Sushma, who is a well-known, legendary South Asian radio broadcaster, Canadian broadcaster, I'm going to say. She's definitely a pioneer. In many ways, she started the first 24-hour South Asian, all South Asian radio station called Rim Jim in 1987, launched in November. And her son, Sudhir, aka DJ Flight, we were friends since we were kindergarten, so now we're in grade 8. So we've been friends forever already. So his mom starts this radio station, and we go and hang out there every Sunday, and she's like, okay, you guys want to be on the radio? And we're like, yeah. Because we used to go and hang out. She used to do shows oh my gosh, I knew I was going to forget something. On the multicultural station. I think it's still around. Do you know what it is, Alex? The multicultural station in Vancouver? They used to have a Portuguese show, Italian show, all that stuff. Anyway, she was there. She also does television, IT productions. They've been doing television forever. Quick rundown on Sushma. She's from the BBC in London, and then she came to Canada in the 70s and had a son. His name is Sudhir, aka DJ Flight, and then I met him, and then she started a radio station in 87. That's the rundown. So she asked if we wanted to go on the air. We're like, yeah. And my voice hadn't changed or anything. So we would read the news clips, the fast news clips on the side, like the little column on the province newspaper. So she's like, just read these news clips or read these news updates. So we would go on and be like, in Burnaby today, there was a man stabbed in the, like with the high ass voice. My voice had not changed. I think Sudhir's may have. So we started like that. And then, she's like, why don't you guys host this birthday show, this kids show, where you're going to play play songs, like kids songs from these Indian tapes and give birthday shout outs. And we're like, okay. So we started doing that. This is on Rim Jim Radio. And this radio station was only available on these boxes. Like you had to buy the radio box in order to hear the radio. It wasn't on AM. It was like piggybacked on another AM station. So you needed this special box to get the frequency. So, yeah, so to this day, there's a lot of people who are like, I remember you from Rim Jim. Like, it's pretty crazy. And so she let us have, I think, an hour to play these kids songs. I didn't know what the songs were. I don't think Sudhir knew what they were either. And we were just happy to be, like, hosting something on the radio. So we're 13. And then we're like, hey, Sushma, we want to play our own music in the second half. She's like, okay. And that's when we were kind of getting into DJing. So we started buying records And some of the first records we played were like Rhythm Nation, Janet Jackson. Rhythm Nation, Janet Jackson. There was Poison, Bell Biv DeVoe. So we would, and our show was called Fun Times because we had no imagination for a better name than that. And I went on air one time and I'm like, hey, I'm Fun Philip. And Sadir's like, and I'm Sadir Times. And this is Fun Times. So that's before Flight or the Flip Out name. By the time we asked to play our own music, though, we had our DJ names. And I was a rapper as well. I was rapping before I was DJing. I was rapping when I was like 12 or 13. That's another story. So there we are on Rim Gym Radio, DJ Flight and DJ Flip Out, 13 years old. And we're playing some of our own songs. We didn't know how to beat mix. We didn't know anything, but we're just playing the songs that we liked. And I actually have a clip of us during that time. And for those that kind of see me on IG and know me personally, you know I just bought a dope jacket. It's a Rhythm Nation jacket. It's from the Rhythm Nation tour of Janet Jackson from 1990. So the back of it says Rhythm Nation 1990 tour. And I bought it off eBay. I won. I bid on it and I won. And that's the first concert I ever went to in 1990. So this is a clip of us talking on the radio in 1990. So now we're 15. And we just finished going to the concert a few months before. So hold on a sec. I'm going to play this for you right now because this is actually kind of amazing. I just found this the other day. So this is taking you back to 1990. This is me on the radio. And I'm the guy with the high-pitched voice. And the guy with this sexy deep voice is DJ Flight. So check it out. Playing a little bit of... playing some Janet, Come Back to Me. Just going to play the song too, actually. A little bit of the song. This is Save on Radio. This is Flip Out's Beginnings in Radio, Part 1. Yeah, let's listen to the song. Sounds like shit. This was recorded off a cassette, by the way. So I know there's a lot of space in between 1987 and 1990, but basically we started, we took over the show, we stopped playing the kids' songs, and we just started doing a mix show. And we were learning how to DJ, how to beat match. We didn't even know what BPMs were when we figured it out. We started counting all the songs with a stopwatch. Excuse me. Like counting for 1 minute, how many beats were in that minute because it was beats per minute. It was crazy. There was no YouTube back then. There wasn't even that many DJs. We just loved it. We saw it on TV. Shout out DJ Jazzy Jeff. Okay, here we go.
Oh yeah, that was Come Back to Me by Janet Jackson. And her concert was excellent. Don't you agree, DJ Flight?
Definitely.
Most definitely. Now next, we're gonna speed things up. Oh, you could say just a tad. And the next song probably describes Janet Jackson as she is to some guys out there. This next song is going out to Raj and Sadir. You have any guys for Poison, Bell Biv DeVoe? Jeez. You don't, huh? Well, this one's going out to Raj and Philip and Sadir. Okay. Hit it, guys. Bell Biv DeVoe.
All right.
Now you know.
Okay.
And knowing is half the battle.
Okay, buddy. I don't know why I was talking like that, but that was my radio voice. Actually, I'm going to play this again for IG because I know you guys are like, what are we watching now? I'm going to turn the mic off. I'm going to play it again for everyone out there as well. Okay, check it out.
Oh, yeah, that was Come Back to Me by Janet Jackson. And her concert was excellent. Don't you agree, DJ Flight?
Definitely.
Most definitely. Now, next, we're going to speed things up. Oh, you could say just a tad. And the next song probably describes Janet Jackson as she is to some guys out there. This next song is going out to Raj and Sadir. You have any guys for Poison, Bell Biv DeVoe? You don't, huh? Well, this one's going out to Raj and Philip and Sadir. Hit it, guys. Bell Biv DeVoe. Now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
So there you go. So I've been a nerd. I've been a super dork. So that's what's up with that. And incidentally, that a version of Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe, we were playing off a cassette because we couldn't find the 12-inch. The 12-inch was sold out in all the record stores. So we just played it off a cassette, off the cassette deck. Those were trying times. So, yeah, so I had a mix show when I was in high school. So, you know, people in my high school would be like, you have a radio show? Like, people didn't believe us. But the brown kids did because their parents had Rim Gym Box. So they're like, you guys have a radio show. So that's where I started in radio, was on Rim Gym Radio. And now Rim Gym is still around. And it's all actually morphed into AM station, Spice Radio on 1200. And shout out to Sushma, who's still there. And to DJ Flight, who runs the station. He designs all the software that the station is run off of. So he's kind of like a computer genius kind of guy. And he's still my friend. After all these years, he still likes hanging out with me. And it's crazy because, we both started DJing together. We started in radio and in communications, I guess. And we kind of just had these, ran parallel to each other and helped each other out along the way. So 1990 and then 91, we were still doing some radio. And then I stopped doing radio, I think, in 91, 92. And I started dancing and rapping more. So I started dancing. So I wasn't doing the radio thing anymore. And then I became a rapper and was in a rap group. And that was with Madchild from Swollen Members. And so we were in a group called What the Hell. And we got signed to a label in San Francisco called Tandem Records, which was the home of a legendary DJ down there called Cameron Paul, who is somebody, Cameron Paul and Mix It Records. And they had label, our label mates were guys like C-Funk and Chunk from East Palo Alto. So that doesn't mean a lot to anyone unless you know the area. So I was rapping in this rap group with Madchild from 92 to 93. We moved to California. And then in late 93, I moved back to Canada. And he stayed down there, and he's Madchild. He kept rapping. So that's how he made all the connections for Swollen Members. And he's still doing it, and I think he's about to go on tour again. So shout out Mad, for real. So I came back to Canada, so in 93, 94. And, you know, I was doing my solo rap thing, and I was also DJing. Kept DJing. I've been DJing that whole time. And then in around 94, 95, I met Jay Swing at a studio, recording studio. And he's like, hey, why don't you come to my house? I have all these new records. Like, you like rap? I like rap. I go to Bellingham like every weekend and buy new records because he lived in White Rock at his dad's house. So he just invited me as a stranger to his house, and I was like, okay. So I went to his house and a few times and made mixtapes. I just take all the new records and make mixtapes. So then Jay Swing, in his own story about radio, he started doing radio at CITR, UBC, when he was dating a girl who lived on campus, and he would just like stay in her crib the whole day, and he got bored and wandered into the radio station and was like, do you guys have a rap show? And they're like, yeah, we have several rap shows. And he's like, oh, I want to have a rap show. And they're like, okay, well, I guess you can have a rap show. So they gave him a show, and then he came back like the day later, and he's like, do you guys have a rap music director? And they're like, no. And he's like, can I be the rap music director? And I think it was Linda Schulten. She's like, okay, I'm the program director. You'll be the rap music director. So Jay created his own position at 101.9 CITR of being the rap music director. So what that means is that he started I guess mailing and calling record labels all over the states, all over Canada, I guess, and getting records sent. But he didn't get them sent. He had foresight. He didn't give them the radio station's address to send the records to. He gave his home address. So the rap music director was using all the records, getting them all to himself, which is, hey, that was a while ago, and that was kind of gangster him to do. That's how Jay started. So he had this radio show, and then it was with Checkmate was the host, and it was called The Show. And he called me up after they've been doing it a year, and he's like, hey, you want to host this show with Checkmate and I? So I started hosting the CITR radio show, the show. It was Saturday evenings at 6 till 8, and that was 95, I think. And we were playing like all the underground stuff from that era, and it was all Jay would bring his turntables in. They didn't have a proper setup. He'd bring his whole setup in. He'd drive from White Rock. He'd pick up Checkmate in Surrey. He'd pick up me in Burnaby, and then we would drive all the way to UBC. So it was like a long ass day. And then after the radio show at 8 o'clock, Jay would go downtown and wait till 10 to do his weekly nightclub gig called Your Mama's with DJ Kilo C. And that night was at where Portside is right now, and it was called the Twilight Zone, and the night was called Your Mama's, and the promoter and the creator of that night was Zach Santiago, who made a hip-hop night for his brothers, because there was no hip-hop nights anywhere in Vancouver that played the stuff that we liked. There was a couple other things. Oh yeah, and by the way, while I'm telling you all this, this wasn't the only thing happening. This just was happening with me, because I'd have to interview some other people that were around doing other stuff. But for me in radio, we were doing CITR, 101.9 CITR out of UBC. I was never on CFRO. I wasn't part of Crispy Biscuit, but I was there all the time as a fan. And shout out to the Incredible E's. Rest in peace, Incredible E's. One of my biggest inspirations in rap radio, 100%. Shout out to Mr. Bill. Also, another huge inspiration for my whole radio broadcasting style of not giving a fuck and just kind of speaking about things as they are and not really putting on a radio voice, just talking. And shout out to Kilo C, the legend, who I found out later was my age when I was 16 going to all ages dances. I was looking up to this guy who was DJing. He was so dope. I thought he was older than me. Found out he's like, I think, younger than me. So that's crazy. So CITR went on from 95 until from 1995 until 1998, and during that time we did a thing called Elements Magazine, which we'd had 8 issues of, and it was a rap magazine, and I'm going to digitize them, and I'm also going to do a show in the upcoming weeks with Jay Swing, and we're going to run down each issue of the magazine, and we're going to play the songs from the magazine, and we're going to talk about some of the interviews. That's in weeks to come right here on Save On Radio. But we did this magazine, so we were doing a lot of stuff, and then we wanted to do the magazine on our own so we can make money, because we couldn't make money off of it under CITR. So we had plans to take it elsewhere, and that never panned out, because that was a huge undertaking. And incidentally, to give you kind of a time frame, when we were doing Elements Magazine, we wanted to break out. I was like, oh man, look at this magazine. This magazine's kind of cool. Like, they're doing whatever they want. I kind of like their magazine. I was talking about Vice. It was Vice Magazine, and look where they are now. So that's kind of like, maybe we should have stuck with it, because Vice has a television show channel. Not saying we were as good as Vice, but we were there at the beginning with them. We both had a free magazine. We both had dope content, and we just couldn't get our shit together. Shout out to me and Jay Swing for failing early. But that opened the doors for lots of other things. So after we left CITR, I'm not sure why we left the radio. I think we got an opportunity to be on 96.1 FM, which is Fairchild Radio, which is the Chinese radio station. I don't know if it still is that, but it was at that time. So that's around the late 90s, 98. And there was this guy, well, I won't say his name because he's a jerk. He started this radio station. We had to pay him to be on the air. So we had to, like, pay. I forget how much it was. I should ask Jay Swing that. We had to pay to be on the air, but we wanted to be on the air. We wanted a bigger kind of audience. So it was an FM dial. We were pretty stoked about it. We did that. We started getting our own ads because of our connections with the magazine, when we were getting ads for the magazine. And that money went to Discorder. We didn't keep the money. Anyway, we had those, and then the guy that was running this late night station, he started like trying to undercut us and trying to go to the labels and say, yo, why don't you like give us the ads for the whole station, for every show? But he was doing it in a really shady way, and we didn't really like that. So I think that ended, and then someone else kept going with 96.1 FM, and then it became Taxi Radio. So shout out to Daryl, shout out to O, And that's when J Swing, myself, and DJ Chemo started a show called The Worldwide Ride. And I was hosting that. And Jay and Chemo were also hosting it, but they did most of the DJing. And Checkmate was there as well. And we did that from 98 to 2000. And I left in late 1999 because I had something, I had a terrible personal tragedy happen to me. A lot of people know what that is. I could even talk about that later too, but I left the radio station. I was kind of like just in my own world for a while. And then Taxi Radio ended in 2000. And then it was kind of in limbo for a minute. And then J Swing was invited to C-Fox 99.3 The Fox through David Hawks, who is a legendary DJ in Vancouver, one of the first DJs in Vancouver. He was program director at C-Fox, and he's the guy who's responsible for introducing Cypress Hill to the C-Fox playlist and playing Swollen Members, Lady Venom, on C-Fox, and people like Jenna Chow had a radio show, an alternative radio show on the weekend. So he gave J Swing and Checkmate the worldwide ride show to do on Friday nights from, like, I think it was 10 till 12 midnight or 9 till 11. And I'll tell you, if you heard the phone calls that came in during that time, people were like, what the fuck is this shit? Fuck this rap shit. Like, rock and roll dudes do not like rap for the most part, back then at least. So there was a little bit of a backlash, but more than that backlash, that's just kind of a funny side note. We were on C-Fox, and I ended up rejoining Jay and Checkmate, and we did that. And then David Hawks got fired because the higher-ups were trying to do a big change. He got fired. We all got fired. Like, the whole thing got wiped out. And we were kind of without radio for about a year, less than a year. And then in 2002, the Beat 94.5 shows up, and we get invited, Jay Swing and I get invited to do a set at their launch party at the Commodore. So we go and do a set, and I'm on the mic, and then after we do our set, whatever, the program director at the time, Matthew McBride, said, you guys want to do your show on our on this new radio station? It's a rap radio station, urban. And we're like, hell yeah. And then I took him aside, and I was like, took Matthew aside, and I was like, hey, do you think that apart from doing the show with Jay, could I be like my own, have my own radio position? Because I've always been in radio, like, before even doing the rap radio, I was on radio a long time ago. So he gave me a chance on the air, and that's how I became part of 94.5. Now Virgin Radio, that was the Beat 94.5 in 2002. It stayed urban for like 2 or 3 years, maybe 2 years. They tried to keep it super rap. Didn't work in this market at all, despite what you guys think. Oh, we need an old rap station. It's not going to work, man. Have you traveled around Vancouver much? I mean, it's a very small community still that likes hip-hop, to have a full hip-hop commercial radio station. We can have Save On Radio every day, all day, because we don't have to, you know, talk to people that don't like what we do. But when you're a commercial radio station, you have to have a very, very broad appeal. And I'm still there at 94.5. Like, to this day, I do the traffic jam at 5 o'clock every day. Yeah, so that's my radio career. And now I'm on Save On Radio every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. So that's my history. Hopefully that was kind of not as boring as I hope it was not. I'm going to play you another clip from Sudhir and I, a.k.a. DJ Flight, from when we were kids on the radio. This is just to wrap it up, and then I'm going to play that Jay-Z interview that I did with him in 95. But this is more of me when on the radio circa 1990 with DJ Flight on Rim Gym. Check it out.
All right, guys, that was The Humpty Hump by Humpty Hump and the Digital Underground. Yeah, they have a new thing out. They got the Digital Underground Do What You Like and Packet Man remixes on a 12-inch single, which I advise you to get because they're good, okay? They're just good. What else is there? Do we advise them to get? sacrifices you to get Poison cassette single or 12-inch if you can find it, but they no longer make it. And Johnny Gill, all those guys from New Edition, you know. So Sadir, aka DJ Flight, is going to do a little mix for y'all, and it's Cold Hearted by Paul Abdul, and he's just going to start it off here. You want to start it? Go ahead, I'm ready. Thanks. Now he's going to put the other record pretty soon here. I'll just do this play-by-play here.
You deserve somebody bit, girl.
How you do that?
You deserve somebody bit, girl.
Hit it.
You deserve somebody bit, girl.
Okay, now he's going to bring in the other record. You deserve somebody right about now. Right about later.
Cold as ice, cold as
So, what's happening here is that, okay, Flight's bringing in the other record. It's completely off beat because we had no idea what we were doing. But what we had in our heads was that for DJing, oh, he just added, oh my gosh. Okay, so what we had in our idea of DJing was you got to play two records at the same time. And Sadir's like, yo, we have two copies of Cold Hearted by Paul Abdul. Like, we were kids. We were poor. We're not buying doubles, right? But somehow we got doubles of it. And he's like, I'm going to play the percapella over the instrumental. And he just literally played both of the songs at the same time, completely off beat. And it went on for, I think, about 7 minutes. So that was us trying to do it. Anyway, Save On Radio. This is Flip Out, running down my radio history and about to get into something kind of crazy. I just found this tape yesterday. I knew I had had it. I said tape. That's right. I said tape. I knew I had this somewhere, but it wasn't labeled properly. And what I'm about to play you is an interview I did with Jay-Z in 1995. So this is when Reasonable Doubt had just come out, and not much was known about Jay-Z. I had heard him on a freestyle. I knew he was on the original Flavor song, Can I Get Open? But even in the interview you hear, I'm like, yo, was that you on Can I Get Open with that verse, Carl, Can I? He's like, yeah. So this is like before Wikipedia, like way before Wikipedia. Like, you can only get information from really fucking, I have actually no idea where we got information. We'd just be like reading other magazines, because I was also citing, like, I read in a magazine that you said this. So I was super awkward in this interview, like really, really awkward. I don't know if I was nervous or just a fucking nerd. Probably the latter, or probably a little bit of both. But I didn't know who he was. Like, and he was really, really nice to me. He was nice to me. And at one point, he actually politely asked, like, can we just have two more questions and wrap this up, buddy? Yeah. So without further ado, this is interview with Jay-Z, 1995, with myself, with me, Flip Out. And this was for, one more little tidbit, this was for Elements Magazine. That's why I did the interview. We were going to use it in the magazine. And guess what? I felt the interview was so trash on my end that we didn't even use the interview. We didn't even do an article on Jay-Z, and I went through all the magazines yesterday. We didn't even review his album. We didn't even review Reasonable Doubt. So some people don't realize that when Jay-Z came out, some people didn't think he was good. They didn't like him. I'm not saying we didn't think he was good, but he wasn't like the best rapper out for sure. At that time, he wasn't. He wasn't in a lot of people's eyes. In his eyes, he was, right? He's always been the best in his eyes. But in like a lot, like to this day, there's people that really liked hip hop in the 90s, mid 90s, that are like, man, Jay-Z's always been trash. And you're like, how can you say that? He's the GOAT. But they're basing it on like when he came out in like 95, 96, there was like Wu-Tang was blowing up. Like everyone was so dope. And he was just kind of had a weird voice. And he was a little bit different. And he'll tell you himself, Jay-Z, in interviews, that no one wanted to sign him. That's a fact. No one wanted to sign him. So he made Rockefeller Records. He made the record label so he could put his own music out. So here I am interviewing him. I'm like, how old am I at that time? I'm like 21 years old. I actually asked him his age during the interview too. I gotta play it. Fuck it. Let's go. Jay-Z, Flip Out, 1990 motherfucking 5. Here we go. Enjoy this, because it's a trip.
All right.
You ready for him?
Ready.
Okay, here it goes. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, what up?
What up? Jay-Z? All
right.
What's up,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, what up?
Chilling.
What's going on?
Not too much. And yourself?
Huh?
Yourself?
Chilling.
Word. All right. So you got a busy-ass schedule, huh?
Yeah, it's a little fun, though.
All right. Last time we were supposed to do the interview, you were in the studio with Melissa Morgan, I think.
Okay.
Doing that remix.
Uh-huh.
What's that like?
What's it like?
Yeah, like
the remix or?
Yeah. Is it coming out?
Yeah. Course? It's done.
It's done?
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
But you released that single already, though, on promo, right?
What's that?
The Hustle one?
Can't Knock the Hustle,
yeah.
Gary?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out now.
So, when's the remix one gonna be out?
Next month.
All right. Oops, shit. All right. So, yeah. So, first of all, how come you say like this is like your first and last album?
Well, no, I mean, it's the whole rap thing. I mean, I think it's for the younger guys. You know, it's for, you know. Rap is constantly changing, you know. I don't wanna stay in it, you know. I wanna give everybody else a chance to go up. Plus, I got a company to run. I wanna focus more on my company.
Rockefeller, right?
Yeah.
Word.
So I'm just gonna hold for a second. So I gotta also warn you that I talk about his first single with Foxy Brown, and I straight just N-bombed with him. It's amazing. When I was listening back, I was like, yo, what the fuck? So be prepared. Flip out and bomb. But it's the name of the song. And I'm saying it to the artist that did the song. He named the song that. Anyway. Oh, my God. Here we go. Keep going.
How old are you then?
26.
26? All right. And you've been around for a while, right?
Huh?
You've been doing shit for a while, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't just start rapping like last year,
yeah,
right?
My man Jazz introduced me to this in 89.
I got a copy of that Kane's birthday party.
Yeah.
When was that shit?
That was like around maybe 90.
90. Shit. And you were doing that flipping the tongue style, right?
Yeah.
That type of shit.
Yeah. Me and Jazz originated that, actually.
Yeah, that was dope. And then that was that was you on Original Flavor?
Yeah.
With the Carl Can I verse?
Yeah.
Word, all right. And then you on Show and Prove, right? And flipping the same type of shit, right?
Yeah.
But then you stopped with that. What happened? You just...
Well, you know, back then I was creative and innovative, and, you know, then I went through a couple of things that I thought I should talk about.
Word.
My whole life changed, you know?
Right. Right. That was after you recorded Show and Prove then, probably, right?
Yeah.
Word.
Well, during that time, but, you know, it was coming from out of that. That was the last time I did it on Wax with Show and Prove, I believe.
Word. And I seen one interview. I read one interview where you brought up Das's name because of their shit, and they came up with that.
Excuse me.
You're talking about Das FX.
Right.
And how they might have bit that shit off you. Or,
I mean, you know, where else did they hear from? I mean, I'm not mad. You know, they capitalized off it. That's what hip hop was all about.
Right.
So let's just pause there. So I asked him right there. I'm like, yo, I read an interview with Daz where Daz, you were talking about Daz. He's like, excuse me? What the fuck are you saying to me, kid? And I'm like, Das FX, you were saying how they bit your style. And he's like, yeah, well, where else did they get it from? And in my head, I'm like, yo, this guy just totally called out Das FX. Holy shit. This is crazy. Like, because I like Das FX more than Jay-Z at that time. Das FX was way fresher than him. And I was like, man, this guy's got fucking balls. Like, wow, that's crazy. Like, that was a big deal to me in my head. I paused for like 5 seconds there. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know what to do. Should I call Das FX? I don't know them. Anyway, continue. Jay-Z, Flip Out, 1995. Save on radio.
Damn. All right. So where are you from originally then?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn? Alright. So how'd you hook up with Big for that, for the Brooklyn's
Well, we, you know, we's passing, you know, friends, and you know, we always said we was gonna, you know, put it down, whether it be his album or mine. And we just, you know, we got together, we went in the studio and put it down.
Right. What's the last shit you recorded on your album?
Huh?
What's the last song you recorded on your album?
Also, Biggie hadn't died yet. So that's, it's crazy.
Oh man.
Like the last one.
I don't even know, because we just was recording for a while, you know? We just took the best songs and went with it. I had like 30-something songs.
Damn. That's how it should be done, though, right?
That's right.
How about with Premier? How'd you hook up with Premier for this?
Well, me and Premier knew each other from way back, you know? I just called on him when it was time for me to do my album, and he looked out.
Word, that's good, because he's got a bit, busy schedule, huh?
Yeah.
Word. All right. So was there like a particular event that happened that caused you to just jump into to you know, try to pull off the album and you know, just do it seriously? Was there a certain event, or was
well,
it just?
Well, nah, we just chat. You know, Clark Kent and Kane, they just kept, you know, persuading me, yo, come on back, do the album, come do the album, you know. So it was them two cats.
Right. You kept kind of getting in and out of it, right?
Yeah.
Right. So them dudes. So, alright. And how do you come about, like, how did your label, your label got a nice secure hook with Big Label.
Yeah.
How did that get about? I mean.
Well, we just timing, you know, we had the right shit, we had the right material, we was in the right place, you know, Freeze made the introduction, and we just took it from there.
Word. So as an artist and then even the owner of a record label, how you feel about mixtapes, DJ mixtapes, and when they're done right and what's...
I can't knock the hustle, you know?
Word.
Another way for people to get money.
Word. Well, how about when they put, like, a whole album on a tape and shit?
Now that's ridiculous. That's disrespect, you know.
Yeah.
Now they. That's when you violating the game. As long as they understand that, you know, not to go too far.
Right.
Don't be disrespectful with it.
Right. Because that shit's basically illegal, right?
Yeah, it should be.
It should be, huh? Oh damn. So, do you handle management too at your company?
Huh?
Do you handle management? Like, who are other artists on your label?
Well, we have our usual suspects.
Who's that?
A group, you know, singing group.
Oh, singing group.
We have a group by the name of Christian.
Right.
And a young lady by the name of Michelle Mitchell.
Right. So is your shit basically done now? I mean, are you going to do a tour or anything like that?
Well, we just doing a bunch of shows. I would love to get on a tour, but, you know, we haven't found anything that was right for us yet.
Right. Right, right, right. So, who were your influences back in the day then? I mean, before you came out with that shit, that flipping shit, before, you know, before that Kane birthday.
Well, I used to listen to Kaz and Jazz.
Right. So Jazz goes back, right. Shit. Is that the same Jazz that did that one track on Group Home's album?
Shit. Yeah.
Alright. So you're from Brooklyn, right? And all that, and but your album kinda has like a universal feel to it. I mean, did you do it like that? I mean, were you thinking of that? Were you thinking try not alienating any other types of audiences on your album? It's got more of a universal feel, you know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
As far as the beats go, especially some of the beats, they're not so, you know.
I've been everywhere. I'm a universal type of dude, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So, album is me.
Word.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite joint off that LP then?
Regret.
Regrets, huh?
Yeah.
Where? What about that? What about Ain't No Nigga? What how'd you think of that song? Can you remember inspired you to do that shit?
One event. It's just a way of life, you know. Young guys on tour, you know, they might have a girl or what have you, but you know they moving around and everything, you know.
How'd you think of that song? Can you remember inspired you to do that shit?
One event. It's just a way of life, you know. Young guys on tour, you know, they might have a girl or what have you, but you know they moving around and everything, you know. Right. And you know, those things happen.
And how'd you get with Foxy Brown?
Clark Kent made the introduction.
Clark Kent, where?
Yeah.
Does he have any ties with Trackmasters, as far as that goes?
Nah.
No. Where?
All right. All right.
So you know, with Kane and Kent pushing you to do the shit, what did you learn as far as like what were certain events that you can still look back on and make sure that you don't, that doesn't happen to you? I mean, as far as your label too, I mean, what type of shady shit and stuff like that can you remember that, you know, was there anything?
No, we don't operate under the same, you know, we all friends here, you know, we gonna do our thing, you know, and them events can't determine the way we conduct business here at Rockefeller. We gonna just start new shit, innovative.
Right. Or, so what were you hoping to accomplish with your album here? Like, open the doors for the label, right?
Definitely open the doors for the label and to touch everybody that, you know, been through the same lifestyle I've been. Let everybody know that, you know, they not alone.
Right. And where them dudes, Memphis Bleak, I think it is, and uh-huh. Sauce Money? Where'd you hook up with them?
They're from the project, Marcy, where I used to live.
Word. Are they on your label?
No, they're not on the label, but we working on things for them.
Word.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, are you planning for your offices to stay where they are? I mean, as far as giving back to where you grew up, stuff like that. Yeah. How important is that?
I mean, you know, we grab a young cat, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. I went back and grabbed Bleak from the projects. You know, he's like 17 now. So he'll go back and reach and grab somebody that's 15, and then that person, you know.
Right. Mm. And how important is it? I mean, if you could talk about how important it is for these new kids to have their shit together as far as paperwork and on the business
end. You know, because when guys come in this business, they ain't thinking about paperwork, just rhyming. They got to think about the business side of it, because, I mean, it's like 90% business.
Word. And that's going to filter out a lot of people, right? As far as longevity, right? All right. So, all right, that one song, the Evils, that one, right? With those samples you put in there from Prodigy and shit. I mean, that song right there, can you go into that song? I mean, what?
Can we do like two more questions, man?
All right, no problem. All
right, man, what'd you say?
The Evils one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the sample that you picked and shit. I mean, that song right there, can you go into that song? I mean, what?
Can we do like two more questions, man? Can we do like two more questions, man?
All right, no problem. All
right, man, what'd you say?
The Evils one.
Uh-huh. Jay-Z is a good dude. See how he was so nice to me right there?
The sample that you picked and shit.
I'll rewind you in a second.
What about that song?
One thing about this interview I got to remind you is that it wasn't meant to be aired. It was meant for me to like transcribe it into print for the magazine. So, you know, I'm not thinking like, oh my God, I'm talking like an idiot. I'm just kind of trying to get the questions out. And I'm not thinking that this would ever be on the air, let alone 20 years later.
What about as far as this Illuminati shit and New World Order type of shit?
That's things I'm seeing happening.
As far as the...
There's nothing.
I mean, that song right there, can you go into that song? I mean, what...
questions. Can we do like two more questions, man?
All right, no problem.
All right, man. What'd you say?
The Evils one.
Uh huh.
I mean, the sample that you picked and shit. I mean, what brought about that song? Because that's like my favorite one off there.
Well, I mean, that's just life. That's the way I was feeling that day. You know, things that people go through.
Right. But as far as the...
There's nothing, you know, very... That you have to use your imagination too much. So nothing invented, you know? I mean, this just comes from me. This is me. That's a part of me.
What about as far as this Illuminati shit and New World Order type of shit?
That's just things I'm seeing happening. They've been talking about it for years, but now I'm seeing it come to pass.
Right. Word. All right, I got... A couple more questions. All right, man. Is there anybody? Shit. So what's the state of shit there? In how do you see hip hop changing, or where do you see it going right now?
Well, hip hop is changing constantly, you know. Right. And I see, you know, I mean, the players had their day. And I see everybody phasing out now. Everyone is, you know, like rebelling against that. So I guess it's going to go back to, you know, more the Bronx feel when everybody's just rapping freestyle, more freestyle, you know, about nothing. And, right. You know, who knows?
All right, then. Is that cool, man?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right.
All right, family.
All right, man.
Peace.
All right, Jay, peace.
All right, there you go. That was me interviewing Jay-Z in 1995, and he's a really nice guy. Like, what patience did he have with this dummy on the other line? That was amazing to hear, even for me. I hope you liked it. So yeah, man, some people are like, you wasted an opportunity to... I didn't actually. I asked him some good questions. And here's the thing. When I brought up like, the Memphis Bleak, Sauce Money, how do you know those guys? Because they were on the album. Like, I'd never heard of them ever. I'm like, I remember actually trying to reach for questions to ask this Jay-Z guy. Like, who, like, I only know like two songs of this guy. And he was like a dope freestyler. And I was really into rap. Like rapping, actually rapping. So I'm like, yo, he's quite innovative and creative. But I had no info on him. So, yeah, that's that. So in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to get Jay Swing in here. We're going to go through the Elements magazines, kind of page by page, piece by piece. And right now, Save On Radio, Flip Out, all Reasonable Doubt songs with some samples. So Save On Radio.